Hey, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. It's great to be in your home, that we're able to take advantage of technology and be able to hear God's word, share God's word, spend time together. I hope that our time together is beneficial. I hope that with this being the new normal, that we will see God do some amazing things. Can you say amen to that? Would you bow your head with me this morning as we just open this with prayer? Father, I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, and the ability that we're able to get together, even though we need to be isolated and separated right now. We're together worshiping as you speak to each one of our hearts, that, Father, that you would just allow and grant peace where there'd be unrest, that you would replace joy, that would be replacing fear, that in the midst of all of the things going on in our lives, that we would hear your voice, be drawn to you, and that, Lord God, you would minister to each and every one of us. And we will give you honor, and we will give you praise, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm happy that even though we're far apart, that we can celebrate Easter Sunday, that Jesus has already been resurrected, that we don't have to be sad because Good Friday is behind us. We have Resurrection Sunday, thanking God for the things that he's done. During the time of Jesus, there was a unique way that they would gather and greet each other. One would say, he is risen, and the other one would say, he has risen indeed. So no matter where you're at today, this morning, when I say, he has risen, would you respond back? He has risen indeed. He has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen. Right where you're at, know that the Lord wants to minister to us in a special way. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 23, and then also take and put your finger in Luke 24. We're going to be looking at a couple different portions of each one of those scriptures. In a few minutes, we're going to read them. And for a moment, would you allow me to just kind of set this up? Last week, we looked at Palm Sunday. We looked at Jesus riding into Jerusalem, fulfilling prophecy, and was greeted by crowds of people yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessing in the Lord, blessing be in the name of the Lord. And as they were cheering and laying down their coats and welcoming Jesus in, just in a matter of 1 week, Jesus would be betrayed. Jesus would be disowned. Jesus would be mocked. Jesus would be beaten to the lowest part of being a criminal and then put on a cross and crucified. There would be no worse way that the Romans could have beaten, tortured, and put someone and killed them than put them on a cross. The most painful, disgraceful way is the way that they treated Jesus. When you look at some of the accounts of the Easter message and the things that happened there, we see that when Jesus was before Pilate, Pilate asked Jesus these words, are you the king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you say. Pilate wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Pilate could find nothing that would be found for him to be guilty enough to be crucified, but yet the crowd, no matter what, decided that they wanted him crucified, they wanted him to lose his life, and no matter how hard they tried, the only way that they would release and separate is by allowing Barabbas, a known thief and a murderer, to be set free in Jesus' stead. Pilate trying every way he could to get Jesus to not to be crucified, the crowd yelling and wanted him so bad to die that they were willing to let Barabbas, a known thief and a murderer, go free. And I think of that as kind of funny because Pilate had one get-out-of-jail-free card and the crowd chose to make it Barabbas. If you look in Luke 23, reading at verses 32 to 43, you see this. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they were crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." I want you to know something. Before you even take a look and we read the resurrection of Jesus Christ in scriptures, that every single person that has ever heard the gospel message has to make a decision in their lifetime before they take their last breath. And I'm asking you this morning, which criminal are you? The one that cursed God? The one that mocked God? The one that did everything he could to stand in the way of the things of God? The one that was guilty? The one that was committed to receive his punishment? Or are you the one that realized that as he was standing on that cross ready to die, that he was getting what he deserved, but asking God for mercy, asking God for grace, asking God to remember him and save him when he entered back into the Father's presence? The one that realized that this man was innocent, doing nothing wrong, but really was on this cross for each one of us, for our sins, and is offering up a way to be redeemed. To the one, it was rebellion, and he was going to get what he deserved. To the other, Jesus tenderly answered him and said that the moment he died, that he would be in paradise with Jesus. And we see that there's a pardon. There was a pardon for his sins. And if you're sitting here this morning, wherever you're at, and you're grateful, filled with gratitude for what Jesus has done for you, then your heart will be stirred. That God has loved us that much that he would go through this pain to complete the plan of salvation for each and every one of us. And someone this morning should be stirring and have a heart and a moment of praise for Jesus this morning, as we celebrate and the completion of Jesus saying it is finished and causing mankind to have a form of redemption that only he could provide for them. Luke 24, verses 1 to 12, goes on to tell us about the resurrection. Starting at verse 1, reading down to 12, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the tomb rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wandering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the stripes of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. After the Sabbath rest, after the law said that they had to have a day of rest, the women went to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body for burial. The law points out in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20, and then the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5 told of how a body had to be prepared for burial. The women were there in observance of the law. In each of the Gospels, they went and they were met by angelic beings that illuminated the tomb. The darkness of the crucifixion, the atonement of the tomb, the Passover Sabbath replaced by heavenly visitors that tell them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Now, I'm really not sure how the women thought that they would be able to get into the tomb with a massive stone in front of it, but there they are. The tomb was open, and they entered in and found the tomb empty. No body of Jesus. The tomb was open. They were in the state of shock because as they ran in, ready to prepare themselves for the worst, he was not there. Two majestic figures of brightness asked them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen." There should have been a time of edification, glorification, and excitement. And the key words here they tell him is, "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. Verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then the scripture says, then they remembered his words. Anybody besides me sometimes have to be reminded at times of the things that are important, the things that I've said, and sometimes we can't go by what we're seeing. I want to bring something to your attention this morning. Until you see Jesus as your resurrected Savior, he cannot be your redemption. Let me say that again. If you cannot see Jesus as your resurrected Savior, he cannot be your redemption, because it's available. It's available. But you have to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior to receive it. First of all, I think the women ran to the tomb. I picture all of these scriptures and I try to pull this together. And I think that Jesus being gone, that they would have ran to the tomb to want to perform the burial rites on Jesus because they loved Jesus. They saw Jesus betrayed. They saw him killed. They wanted to get to him. They wanted to show their love to him by offering up and putting the necessary perfumes on him. Joseph of Arimathea put Jesus in this tomb. And it's funny when you look at these scriptures, because Joseph of Arimathea was a secret Christian. He wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to know the things of God. And yet he was secretly running around because he was afraid that the Sanhedrin and others would find out. The same with Nicodemus, who scripture says came by night. They were secret Christians. Verse 55, the women saw all of these things going on. Verse 55, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how this body was laid in it. They expected to complete the burial rites and doing the rituals of burial, even if they hadn't completely completed their mourning of Jesus. You say amen to that? We're living in a time right now with the virus that a funeral, you're limited to 10 people. And you're limited on what you can do. And here they saw Jesus die. They saw him being betrayed. They saw him being killed. They saw Joseph put him into the tomb. They expected to complete this burial ritual. They hadn't even completed their mourning for Jesus. They went to the tomb to prepare the body, not expecting the empty tomb, because they hadn't expected Jesus to be resurrected. See, the scriptures say, then they remembered his words, but they didn't remember at that time when they ran in. They had forgot what Jesus had told them. And not only looked at what had happened, but hadn't seen what was about to take place. Their focus was wrong. Their hearts were wrong. They only saw what their eyes showed him, not what the Lord had told them. See, I believe that on this day and on this situation here, that Jesus on the cross had some things that he wanted us to see. and wanted us to change within our own lives. Jesus on the cross had this, and if you're writing it down, this would be number one. Jesus on the cross wanted us to change our focus from death to light. From death to life. They expected to see a dead Jesus. They heard the message of what Jesus had told them, but they didn't come to the tomb to see Jesus gone. They came to see a dead body. They came to show their love for someone they cared about very much. And that's why when in the midst of their shock that angelic visitors said to them, "Why do you come looking for the living among the dead? He's not here." For believers who put their faith in Christ and believe that he was resurrected, we cannot dwell on death too long, but look towards the life and the resurrection that he provides. We know that the death doesn't have final sting on us because of a resurrected Jesus. That empty tomb causes believers to seek a risen and alive Savior, a Savior that brings life from the grave. Max Lucado says it very well. He says, "The stone was moved not for Jesus, but for the women. Not so Jesus could get out, but so the women could see." And I think of Scripture, come see what I have done. And I believe at certain times, amen, I believe at certain times all of us need to roll certain stones out of our lives. Stones of doubt, stones of fear, stones of uneasiness, stones of stress, stones of anything that would keep you from accomplishing and seeing and doing what God would want. What would our lives look like? What would our lives look like if we believed that this life is not all there is? Amen? What would our lives look like if we truly believed in a resurrected Christ? What would our life look like if we truly believe that as spirit-filled believers that God gives us power to do things that are way more than what we could do in ourselves? I think we would operate more in faith than in fear, and that we would expect God to do these amazing things. The same God that saves would be the same God we would believe that would keep us. At some point, we've all done it. We have done all that we know to do, and then we want to trust God. What would happen if we trust God and then did all that we know to do? Point number one, focus on life instead of death. Jesus on the cross had a second thing he wanted to show us, and it's this. Jesus on the cross had changed our focus of the cross to the resurrection. See, I believe as Christians, we all love our cross. The cross is a symbol of God's love for us. That his son Jesus and our Lord Jesus went to that cross and died for each and every one of our sins. And I say, hallelujah. I say, amen. I say, God be great. God be worshiped. But I don't want to forget what Jesus did on the cross. That is not what I'm saying here. But if our faith never moves past the cross and on to the resurrection, your faith dwells in death rather than life. Remember that Jesus died on the cross. Remember that he was buried. In 3 days, he arose. Don't get stuck on the tragedy of the cross and forget the triumph of the resurrection. Amen. The resurrection is where we see God doing things in our lives. Let me say that again. Don't stay on the tragedy of the cross and forget the triumph of the resurrection. Jesus teaches us that he laid down his life for us. John 10, 17 and 18 says, "The reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again." Jesus laid his life down for each and every one of us. But it can't stop there. If he had died and not been resurrected, we would have died in our sins. Appreciate the cross and all that it stands for. But remember that Jesus on the third day did just like he said he would. He was resurrected. And because of his resurrection, we can have resurrection power. We can have the victory over the grave because of his resurrection. We can be resurrected. And the sting of death has no hold on us anymore. You say amen. There ought to be some shouting in living rooms this morning. have an illustration. A golfer was playing at a golf course he had never been before, and he was playing at a hole that had to be shot over water. He got out an old ball and teed up. A voice came out of nowhere, says, "Use a new ball." And he didn't see anyone, but he put a new ball on the tee and was ready to hit the ball when the voice said, "Take a practice swing." He took a practice swing, and then he heard the voice say, "Use the old ball." If it was up to us, we would fall short. We would hit into the waters every single time. Our life would be the best if we could, but because of the cross and because of the resurrection, we have eternity. And we have eternity with the Lord, and the best is yet to come. Lastly, Jesus on the cross said this, that he wanted to change our focus from current events to our future. Amen? From our current events to the future. Those women were focused on current events. They went to the tomb to prepare a body for burial for someone they loved. They were shaken by the events of the days that happened for the last 3 days between his betrayal, his beating, and his death. We easily can get shaken by current events and forget what the Lord has told us in his word. Amen? We forget. We get shaken up by current events, situations, and forget what the Lord has told us in his word, what he's laid upon our heart, on our hearts. He told us that he would be resurrected. He told them that he would be resurrection. We get so wrapped up in the events of man that we miss the events of God. Amen? And I think that it's so easy when we're going through challenges, when we're going through things going on in our lives, we get so wrapped up in the events of man and how we're going to fix things, we miss the events of God. We miss what God wants to tell you. Let me tell you something. The cross is messy. The cross is messy, and a lot of people don't even like to talk about the cross. Some churches don't even hang a cross in the church. I believe it's a mistake, and I believe it's contrary to the foundation of Christianity. Without the cross, without the death, without the resurrection, there is no redemption. This preacher still believes that there is room at the cross for each one of us. This preacher understands that sin is messy, but that at the Calvary, the bloodshed of precious Jesus was the blood that saved us. Still brings tears to my eyes when we sing songs, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." I'm thankful for the Lord to lay down his life for each and every one of us. And I'm especially glad that my Savior was resurrected to sit on the throne of God forever and ever. And that nothing will take him off the throne. He had me in mind and encourages each one of us to experience the resurrection power. The cross is a beautiful symbol of God's love for us. Do not look for Jesus to ever again be buried in a tomb. Let me repeat that. Do not ever again look for Jesus to be buried in a tomb. He's not there. He is risen. This morning we're not together worshiping, and it's hard. But God is still speaking to all of us right now. If you don't know the risen Savior today, you can know him. Scripture tells us that we can know him. What death cannot do is keep a believer in the grave. Up from the grave he arose. And so with the same power that Jesus was resurrected, we can have resurrection life. In a minute, we're going to pray, and I'm asking you to just stay with me just a few more minutes. But there's two little words that keep popping up in my mind as I look at these things. Two little words, the words must and but. The Son of God must be delivered into the hands of sinful man, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. He must be delivered. He could have called all the angels of heaven to help him. But he decided to be in God the Father's will that he must be delivered for the love of God that he has for each and every one of us. There's nothing more that Christ could do to show us how much more he loves us than the word but. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep a hold on him. Somebody ought to be shouting amen. Jesus was nailed on that cross, and on that cross was every single sin that you and I need forgiveness for. He has set you free from your sins. Say amen. He has set you free from your past. He has set you free from eternal death. Death cannot have a believer. He conquered death because 1 second after you die, the Word of God tells us absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Because he was resurrected, so can you and I. I'm thankful that when you think about all the things that Christ has done for us, that you can stand there and say, I am who he said I am. Not what the world says I am, but I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. Do you know that Jesus this morning? Do you know that Jesus? If not this morning, you can know him. Let's pray. And if you don't know him this morning, I would ask that you would invite him into your heart and into your life. Admit that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. That you believe that he died for your sins. And that he was resurrected. And because he was resurrected, that you can have everlasting life. That's the gospel message. This morning I want to tell you, if you believe that, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died, was buried, and resurrected, that you can have resurrection life, that you're saved. The Bible tells you that you're a born-again believer, that you are washed in the blood of Christ. And that's what the cross does for us. That's what the resurrection does for us. If you believe that in your heart and confess that this morning, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to a new life. Welcome to a life that will never be the same. I'm not saying easy. Sometimes they paint a picture that it's easy. It's not easy, but you will never walk alone. Amen? Let us know if you made a decision for Christ. Let us know how we can help in any way in your journey with the Lord. Would you just bow your head with me? Father God, I thank you that because of the cross, because of your death, burial, and resurrection, we can have eternal life. I thank you for that. I pray, Lord God, for those that maybe had wandered away from their faith and they're struggling, that today maybe they've recommitted their life to you, Lord God. I ask that you would work in their lives and do the things that are needed to stand them upright. Walk with them, give them strength, Lord God, to embark on this new journey with them. Lord God, and also for those, if there be anyone within the sound of my voice today that accepted you as Lord and Savior for the first time, I welcome them into the family of God. And I say this morning that you don't have the journey alone. I would invite you that wherever you're at, that you would find a Bible-believing church and get grounded and get people of like-minded faith to get around you so that you might be encouraged and then eventually be an encouragement to someone else. And that through all of this, that our Lord and Savior would get honor and glory, and that we would cheerfully serve him every day of our lives. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.